breaking news sports update. The Golden State Warriors are going to have to try to put Houston away without Kevin Durant. KD suffering a calf strain in Game 5, and Warriors coach Steve Kerr says he's going to be out for Friday's Game 6 in Houston. Durant pulled up in pain in the third quarter of Wednesday's 104-99 win after hitting a jumper over Iman Shumpert. Golden State up in the series 3-2. Is availability for a possible all-or-nothing Game 7 still in the air should the Rockets win on Friday night? Durant, an absolute beast, averaging 34.2 points, 5.2 boards, and 4.9 assists in 11 postseason games, and shooting 41.6% from deep two. Amazing. Two elimination games in the NBA tonight. It's a doubleheader. First up at 8 o'clock, Philly hosting the Toronto Raptors. Raptors laying 2 on the road. 212 is your total. Toronto up 3-2 in the series. Game 2 of the double bill is Portland hosting Denver at 10:30 p.m. The Blazers minus 3.5. 214.5 is your over-under. Nuggets up in that best of 7, 3-2. Afternoon baseball on Thursday. Veteran slugger Albert Pujols, a little bit of history today, registered his 2,000th RBI with a solo homer in the third. Versus the Tigers, Pujols joining Hank Aaron and A-Rod as the third ever player to record 2,000 RBIs. The Angels up 7-0, bottom 7. Cleveland up on Chicago. The White Sox, Cleveland's up 5-0. They're in a rain delay in the fifth. Cubs over the Marlins, 2-1, bottom 4. San Francisco and Colorado, the Rockies up to an early 3-0 lead, bottom 2. Cincy and Oakland, the Reds scored early 2-0 in the bottom of the first. Next up on the MLB sched, 6:35. Seattle at the Yankees. Yankees minus 170, total 9.5. Leak versus Hap. 7:45, Pittsburgh at St. Louis. The Cards minus 145, 8.5. Musgrove and Waka. 8:10 action. We got Texas and Houston. The Battle of Texas. Astros minus 165, 9. Minor and Miley. 9:40 action. Atlanta and Atlanta. Pick 'em. Total 8. Soraka versus Weaver. And at 10:10 p.m., we got Washington. Ice cold Washington at the Dodgers. Dodgers minus 135, 7.5. Corbin versus Hill. One game in the NHL playoffs tonight. It's game one of the Eastern Conference Final as Boston hosting Carolina. Those bunch of jerks. Boston laying 50 cents. Total 5.5 in this hockey game. Game time 8 o'clock. Charlie McAvoy out with a one-game suspension for Boston due to a headshot to Josh Anderson of Columbus. Series price, Boston minus 160. Canes plus 140. NFL news. Benjamin Watson coming out of retirement and heading home. The veteran tight end plans to sign on with the New England Patriots. He was drafted by New England in the first round of the 2004 draft. Newly signed Seahawks defensive end Ziggy Ansah expected to miss training camp. He's still recovering from shoulder surgery. It's believed he'll miss the first month of the regular season as well after signing a one-year deal with the Seattle Seahawks. The Jacksonville Jaguars have released quarterback Cody Kessler today. That's not good. Round one, we got golf action here. The PGA's Byron Nelson Classic in Texas, and these guys are going very low today. Denny McCarthy leads the way so far with an 8 under 63. One of the tourney favorites, Brooks Koepka, just 2 off the pace. Tony Romo, not bad so far. Minus 1 through 3 holes. That's a good start for the broadcaster. On the European Tour, British Masters opening round, Matthew Jordan playing on a sponsor's exemption leads the way at minus 9. Wallace and Kinholt are just 2 shots off the pace there, so they're going low in Britain as well. Hey, guys, stick around. It's Red Heat and Rage Radio, hosted by Gabe Morenci. It's a great show on Wednesday. We got Whale Pat Capper. He's going to drop by for a chat a little NBA. Big man on campus. We'll break him down before the Raptors-Philadelphia game. A whole lot more picks, DFS. So stick around, everybody. It's Red Heat and Rage Radio on the Fantasy Sports and Radio Television Network. Coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions. All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Ready? Rage our radio has begun. Fantasy Sports, our radio network, iHeart. I'm Gable Morenci, from down to Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart, we've got a very busy show today. We've moved up Whale Capper. Whale Capper was going to join us at like 4:23 Eastern or so, but we always run out of time with Whale Capper. So Whale Capper will join us at 4:09. So line them up, Yang, the Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart already lined up. What's up, Cam?
Not much, Morenci. Just getting ready for the games tonight. I know you'll be excited. Raptors in Philadelphia. Maybe at 6 o'clock we can beat down Big Man and, throw some stuff his way, calling Lowry a bum, and maybe we'll go on the attack today with the full court press.
Yeah, but the thing is, No, we can. We got to wait till after the game to go on the attack.
Yeah, I know.
We can't start talking smack.
Bad karma.
You know, Philadelphia have been embarrassed, right? They lost on their home court, and then they were smacked down and absolutely drilled in Toronto. Yeah, man, they're going to show something tonight. They're going to come out swinging tonight, Rocky style, man. We got to be, the Russian guy or Mr.
Dragon.
T? I'm coming for you, Balboa. I'm coming for you. Get out of my way, old man.
Clubber Lane, baby.
Yeah, Clubber, exactly. Clubber. I'm coming for you, Balboa. That was great when he showed up at the press conference. What did he say about his wife, too? He goes, you and your sexy wife. What did he say?
Settle down on Adrian there. Pump the brakes.
Yeah,
there.
He said, I'm coming for you, Balboa. And he said, I'm coming for you, too. He said something like, like that's what Rocky was ignoring him until then, right? And
His wife. And you get him all fired up.
You know what? I'm so old. I remember Mr. T before Rocky and stuff, when he just like broke loose. It was like before the A-team. He did the A-team after. He was actually on. They used to have a thing on TV called the Tough Man Competition. And you can't make this up, but Mr. T, it's got to be on YouTube, actually. There's got to be a video of Mr. T. What's the best way of putting this? Throwing little people. That was actually like on NBC, Cam. Like basically, like Mr. T was there throwing little people type of thing, and they would measure how far, and he was like the tough man.
I'm sorry. I endorse it. I know if you do that today, like you notice in wrestling too, they'll bring out chicks who are scantily clad and naked, but there's no more little beaver. There's no more friends, like little guys running around and Andre the Giant picking up like six of them and throwing them out like trash. Yeah, just not.
But you notice society has no problem picking on heavier set people.
That's
TV
actually
shows,
a great
Biggest
point.
Loser, and there's always fat jokes on TV and stuff.
You're fat. Yep.
Yeah,
I
you
agree.
Say the word midget, and it's like, oh, no, you can't.
Excellent
can't
point, like, Gabe. Excellent point. I'm with you. Fat people are getting ripped all the time. The midgets, they should be able to. It's for. You know what I say? Everybody's equal. Throw everybody under the bus. Then it's fair.
Yeah,
equal opportunity. That's the way I look at it.
I guarantee you there's a lot of midget wrestlers that are out of work right now that would love to be wrestling.
That's
you don't think
really,
if Vince McMahon called them, like, and say, they'd say, yeah, I'd love to come on Monday Night Raw. Yeah, love to come on Monday Night Raw. Say, I can't.
Can't and do it Dink, anymore, Vince.
Dink and Doink were amongst my favorites of all time. Okay. He'd squeeze the flower. Squeeze the flower and he'd get in the face. Ah, it's like they'd be like, that's not water there, Jim. That's acid. You know what I mean? He'd be like,
you're right. It's just different times, Gabe. Different times
like,
we're living in, buddy.
Do you remember the wrestler? The Goon?
Hockey
guy?
Yeah, the Goon was great. Yeah, that didn't last long enough. I don't tell you. Wrestling fit through everything. Like the Goon was cool.
He was great. Goon. He had a hockey jersey on and a hockey pants. Like a hockey except the skates. His wrestling boots look like skates type of thing.
Yes.
To come out and do the old Goon thing. Great gimmick, the Goon.
You're right.
And now it's just all, just names and stuff like that. Boring.
It's boring.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, just for the record, I couldn't find the video, but I found a still shot as part of a video. Mr. T got famous winning a bouncer competition. And I swear it was on TV. I was watching it when I was a young kid, and like it was like late 70s or something. And I vividly remember Mr. T tossing midgets around a bar, Cam. like I'm telling you. And then like, I saw him like in the movie Rocky. I'm like, that's that guy that was throwing, like, that's the guy, the tough guy from the bar. Like, yeah, that's what TV was good. It was like, it was America's Toughest Bouncer. So amazing. that was the TV show. And Will Capper might be a dookie, but even he knows that's a winner right there. America's Toughest Bouncer. What's up, Will Capper?
What is happening, man? I love this. America's Toughest Bouncer. Bring that back.
Yeah. We were kidding around about, like, I don't know. We sort of jump around a bit.
We sure do.
Midget wrestlers came up, and somehow I brought up Mr. T. Break. That was his big break. Winning a bouncer competition. But nevertheless, how you doing, Will Capper?
Hey, not too bad, man. It's a wild week for the NBA playoffs, and, you know, culminating with the Kevin Durant injury last night really kind of turned the entirety of the NBA playoffs on their head, really. I think it was more or less a foregone conclusion we were going to get another Warriors title, you know, no less than, what, 48 hours ago. And now the market's, you know, pretty noticeably flipped. Where prior to this Rockets series, the Warriors were in the minus 150 to minus 200 range to win the title, depending on where you were shopping. Now they're in plus money. And I got to say, I agree with the flip. And I think there's probably value still on the Warriors not winning the title, because I do think we've seen the last of Kevin Durant this playoffs. And I think we've seen the last of Kevin Durant playing home games at in a Golden State Warriors uniform. So the NBA is totally, totally different path today than it was yesterday, which is pretty exciting.
It's pretty crazy turn of events. And, we had Dr. Chow on today. Long time, smart guy. Long time. He was the San Diego Charger team doctor for like 17 years, 18 years. And he's like he does hits. He writes columns about sports injuries and stuff. So we got him on, and, you know, obviously he said, listen, I didn't examine him and didn't see Kevin Durant. But like I said, the guy was, you know, he's been doing, he was in the NFL for years. And he basically stated, yeah, he doesn't think Kevin Durant's coming back anytime soon.
Yeah,
he said,
Best case scenario. I saw him last night tweeting about it. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. He said, best case scenario, Durant would be back maybe for the finals. Like, that's if, like, he gets really lucky, if it's not that severe. He's out game six. He's out game seven. But when you said you thought it was a foregone conclusion, Whale Capper, that the Warriors were going to win again, I'm disappointed, because I know you follow me on Twitter. And I did drunken tweet out about two Saturday nights ago that the Toronto Raptors would be playing the Denver Nuggets in the NBA Finals.
I think you're more close. I think you're pretty damn close to right now.
Ooh, we're getting there.
I think we're getting there. Yeah.
If Houston would beat Golden State, and then they would think, oh, Houston, we finally beat Golden State. And then, boom, Nikolai Jokic knocks you guys out. And it's people are sleeping on Denver.
No doubt.
I think Denver's an upset pick tonight, but we'll get to that. Listen, this stuff's wide open, but legitimately, I guess you'd say, who does this favor the most? Maybe the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
The Bucks are suddenly plus 270 to win the title. These are the new odds. Golden State plus 115. Milwaukee plus 270. Houston plus 420. Raptors plus 600. Nuggets plus 1800. Philadelphia 39-1. And then Portland 55-1. Yeah, we'll see if the Raptors can take care of business tonight. But, man, Kawhi Leonard versus the Greek Freak, that's some big-time stuff there. But so what about Golden State? What do you think happens, man? 7.5-point point spread. Pretty big number, actually, as they go tomorrow.
Yeah. It sounds like we're on the same wavelength with a lot of thoughts today, which is either great for us or problematic. But that's okay. We'll talk through a lot of this. The Kevin, I first of all, going back to Dr. Chow, I saw his reaction to this last night. It was basically exactly the same as my reaction to this. The way that the injury occurred and the way it played out on, you know, on what was available to us at home as viewers looked very, very, very likely to be an Achilles injury, not a strained calf. And I'm very suspect with how quickly, you know, Woj was on SVP's, you know, Sports Center saying, oh, nope, strained calf. This is a strain. I mean, the timing was weird to have a diagnosis that fast. If you were pretty confident that it was not, you know, not a game changer and that he could potentially come back this series, I don't know that you, you know, rush Woj out there with breaking news that it's, you know, that's not a big deal. Like, there was clearly some, there's an information campaign going on that I can't understand or decipher what they're doing or why. I will not be surprised if when, you know, Golden State is eliminated at some point in this playoffs now, that there isn't, you know, 24, 48 hours later, oh, actually, it turns out there was a partial tear in Kevin Durant's Achilles. You know, we see it now. You know, there was just too much, you know, circumstantial evidence in the way that played out. And then on top of that, there's something that stinks about this. I can't really quite put my finger on it. Regardless, I don't think
we see Kevin Durant again. What about Woj, though?
Yeah.
Woj, and listen, Woj is, you know, one of the guys that never gets sort of grouped in with the sleazy media types. He's had a great reputation. Yet, honestly, like, I don't know, there seems to be just a lot of crap over the last couple of years since he's been ESPN eyes, really. And
he's carrying a lot of water.
Yeah, and I guess he's under pressure to come up with stuff. But, you know, one day Kawhi Leonard's going to the Brooklyn Nets last week. Then the next day, him and Nick Nurse are really getting along. It's like, I don't know, dude. I mean, are you making
LeBron
shit up?
LeBron talking to Leonard, Gabe. The one today, LeBron. And it's like, I don't believe any report.
Yeah, yeah.
All a bunch of BS. Bullshit.
Kawhi, come on. Like, you know, the whole.
Yep.
Like, it's just. I'm not trying to criticize him personally, but it just seems like there's just a lot of crap that's going on out here right now. And as you stated, I'll take the doctor's advice. If I want an NBA rumor, I'll go to Woj. If I want medical advice, I'll go to a guy that's like been a doctor in professional sports for the last 20 years.
There's definitely, and there's some weird stuff going on in general with some of the information guys. I mean, we talked about this with the NFL draft. Like, Ian Rappaport was slinging some absolute nonsense. I don't know who he was carrying water for or why, or what the whole point of all of that was, but he was really pressing hard.
All these guys have ruined their credibility.
I feel like they don't recognize that people have, you know, memories about this sort of stuff and that there's like a cumulative effect of being wrong a bunch. And, you know, a guy like Rappaport, you know, he's putting together a pretty suspect record over the last 2 years in my book, and Woj is getting there too. I mean, Woj had a lot of really suspect, and heavily opinionated points when the Anthony Davis saga was playing out post All-Star break, pre-trade deadline. He was really, really going editorial with a lot of his commentary about that. And that was strange. I couldn't really for the Celtics.
Earlier in the year is when what's his name? Porzingis got traded from the Knicks. Porzingis got traded from the Knicks, and then there's Woj like an hour after the trade saying, oh, not surprising. You know, they talked about this months ago and stuff. I'm thinking, well, I never saw you tweet about it once, bro.
He was just
saying, no, I knew I was sort of on the inside, but, you know. Wink, wink. Like, shut the F up, bro. You know what I mean? You didn't know. Like, you know, just say, you didn't know. Like, you know. Sorry, James Dolan doesn't call Woj.
He learned what
all
we
right?
learned.
Trust me. Dolan ain't calling the ESPN, bro. All right. Continue, Whale Captain.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Yang making promos about himself.
I know. What is it? It's the Yang Show, starring Yang. Also starring Yang.
All right.
And Mark Lawrence.
I don't know what it is. All of our guests sucking up to Yang all the time, either.
Yeah, they love him.
Needs to be a common pattern. Let's bring in Whale Capper. Whale Capper, once again, time always flies by when Whale Capper is joining us. So, yeah, just blasting through those odds. So let's get down to the games, and we'll get into. We'll take it step by step here, and we'll get back to the Warriors and the Rockets tonight. The Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Raptors are minus two right now. Total is 212. Game got over the number in garbage time the other night. And first game that went over the number in this series. So the real question is, the Raptors were sort of with their backs against the wall. They got blown out in game three. They responded in game four with a tough, hard-fought, ugly road win. They go back home, and they just knock the crap out of the Philadelphia 76ers. The question is, now, what do the Sixers have left? Well, if they don't play well early, will the crowd turn on them? And I most certainly think they will. And I should note, I'm a diehard Raptor fan. But I'd like to think I'm not biased. But I've been wrong before with this team. But I like to believe, guys, that Kawhi Leonard is the difference. And it's not like, oh, don't worry, we have a game seven still. You know, there's almost that mentality. We saw that with Denver, did the same thing in San Antonio. Couldn't close out. And Coach Malone was saying earlier this morning, he said, I hope we learned our lesson in San Antonio about urgency. Because he goes, we didn't have it in that game six, and we were lucky to win game seven. I saw Kawhi Leonard talking this morning at the morning shoot-around. Man, it looks like a boxer ready to go. And he said, this is going to be the hardest game of the series. We're going to have to bring everything we have. This is why Kawhi Leonard's on the Raptors now, Will Capper and Cam, is for nights like tonight, like nights like in the past when he's carried them. He didn't carry them in the last game when it was a blowout, but I think it's going to be a big Kawhi night tonight. I think the Raptors eliminate them, and I certainly hope that I'm correct. What's your take?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. This is a closeout game for the Raptors, the way I handicap it. And, you know, clearly Kawhi has been the most important player for any specific team these playoffs, to his point. He absolutely elevated the Raptors in both round one and round two so far. The Sixers have virtually no way to stop him. They have done, I mean, and granted, you know, Nick Nurse, this is his first go around as a coach in the playoffs. And he's made some mistakes, I feel like. It's funny too, because they were so cautious with load management with Kawhi over the course of the season to make sure he was rested and healthy and good to go for the playoffs. And it's shown in his ability to produce to this point. I mean, I feel very strongly that a lot of the reason that he looks like he's on another level is because he did not put in the regular season grind that a lot of the other star players did. You know, and for sure, he's played more minutes in this series than I would have liked to this point. I didn't like in game five when it was still there was a chance. Basically, Philly had a chance still if they could have put together a little bit of a run to get back into it in the third quarter. And Kawhi at the free throw line, getting ready to rebound free throws, had his hands on his knees. And I always get a little concerned when you see that for players in the playoffs, and especially a guy who's carrying the load as much as Kawhi is for this Raptors team. But he had a really nice, lift from his teammates in game five. They came out, they performed well. Siakam contributed a lot offensively. That was exciting to see. Some of the role players who had been previously absent in this series all of a sudden, came through with some contributions in game five. And all that really spells to me is that the Sixers are calling it a season. It's over for this team. Their motivation is going to be relatively low today. We saw it with Boston yesterday. And granted, Boston was on the road. That makes quitting that much easier. But the Sixers at home with a crowd that's likely going to be, ready to bury this team, ready to make a statement to ownership that they need to move on.
The old Philly fry job.
That, Yeah, it's like our good buddy.
Yeah, I love it.
Our good buddy, big man on campus. He really, really captured the ethos of like the Philly fans well during that last game. And these guys are dying to see Brett Brown pay for this collapse with his job. And
it's
not Brett Brown's fault.
Yeah,
of course not. Of course not. It's not a well-composed roster by any stretch.
Will Capper, you try to coach Ben Simmons. Yeah. You're better free throws. You can choose. You know what I mean? What are you going to do?
Hey,
the guy's Benny Kardashian. He can't shoot the ball. Everyone knows it.
Joel Embiid.
You don't know whether the guy's going to get hurt wiping his ass. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he goes to the bathroom. Coach, my ass
Simmons,
hurts.
Like, this guy doesn't even have a pulse. I look at him out there. You talk about Wiggins not sweating. I look at Simmons. No. He looks like he's worked less than my banker when I go in there for a mortgage meeting. You know,
Somebody wanted to argue with me yesterday or someone. I don't forget what show. It was about Ben, who's better, Ben Simmons or Andrew Wiggins. I said, hey,
Wiggins.
Give me Wiggins. Wiggins might not care, but at least he gives you 22
every
night.
He's a scorer. I was saying, look at Siakam, okay? This is what we love with this guy. You know, he was hurt last game. I'll tell you something, like just looking at the Raptors pregame, and I'm here right now in Toronto, he didn't bitch one thing about his injury or whatever when asked about it repeatedly. Everything's going to be cool. Whereas I look at the Sixers and everything, excuse from all their guys. He had excuses to say whatever and picked up his game there. The problem is they have all the talent in the world, but they're a young team. They're going to have to grow up and mature because they act like young kids out there, and that's not going to get it done. You got to play man ball in the playoffs, and they're just not formulated that way.
Yeah, my overall kind of philosophy about how play goes in the NBA, it's basically like, who can you knock out on the other team, right? Like, how can you do it? And once a guy is knocked out, like, he's out, he's done. And the Raptors figured out a fairly effective way to knock Ben Simmons out of this series relatively early. And Embiid took himself out of this series because he is not in great shape. He got hurt at the All-Star game in February. He missed tons of important game time down the stretch. His conditioning was nowhere close to being ready for competing with, you know, some of these playoff teams and some of these series where you have to be able to play every other night at a level where you are carrying the offensive load for your squad. And Embiid absolutely cannot do it. I mean, you look at like, oh, he's getting sick. The illness is like, yeah, excuses. But like, he's clearly breaking down because he is not conditioned to be ready for this, you know, level of gameplay. Kawhi clearly is. Kawhi has done it in his career. Like, and Siakam has emerged spectacularly these playoffs. This whole season has been just an absolute joy watching him blossom into like a competent NBA player, a guy that you can potentially build around if Kawhi decides to, you know, head to LA or whatever this offseason. But clearly, the Sixers has a ton of growing up to do. That was a great way of qualifying it. Simmons has got to grow up. This is only his second season in the NBA. He has the tools and the weapons to be an effective player with a guy like Embiid, if Embiid is healthy and if he is, you know, the offensive threat that we know he can be. And, you know, Simmons, the fact that he can't shoot, like, he gets a lot of hell for that. And, you know, the Raptors specifically use that to take him out of this series. But, you know, it's not, I would still take a chance on him. Like, if he was on the trade market for whatever reason, because Philly, by the way, the ownership in Philly and the management in Philly is not exactly like A-plus by right now. So if you're a sharp general manager out there, you might be able to pick their pocket for a couple of their assets this offseason if they decide to blow things up.
Yep.
But Simmons still does have a role on a competitive team in the NBA, in my opinion. And a lot of it just comes down to when it gets to playoff time. You know, the ability to shoot on the outside becomes diminished as you get deeper into series, as you get deeper into the playoffs. And, you know, when we get back to the Warriors in a minute, like, that's where I'm going with this. Like the small guards are not flourishing the deeper you go into the playoffs because you can take them out of the game. You put a guy like Gary Harris on Dame Lillard you put Gary Harris on Dame Lillard. He goes from world-beating superstar in the OKC series to missing person in this series. And a lot of it is usage, and a lot of it is exhaustion. Like, he's hitting the front of the rim with his jump shot now, as opposed to the absolute not even touching the rim. But with the smaller guards, if you have a good rim protector and if you can take away their ability to drive and then beyond that drive and dish, like you can absolutely minimize their impact. Guys like Dame, guys like Kyrie, guys like Steph Curry even, I feel like their impact and their ability to kind of control the outcome of games and series and beyond in this playoffs is diminishing by the, you know, by the day, by the week, by the round. And you know, that's why evolution. I guess like Kevin Durant is so important. And it's
evolution
well
in
said,
which
Will Capper.
these guys came in and Curry revolutionized the game, right, and sort of changed the game.
Sure.
The analytics changed the game, and we should note the two biggest analytic teams, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Houston Rockets, still playing right now. But at the same point in time, now we're a couple of years into this, and as you stated, and you notice this, people are just taking a perimeter away now, right? And you don't let Lillard get set. It's basically like if he gets the ball, he's going to get it off. Don't let him get set. And he's playing in traffic, and it's a problem for him that in the regular season, teams just don't play that way. And I was on the same page, Capper, in which I thought this is going to catch up to Milwaukee. Hey, you guys are just setting up shop. And we spoke with Rick Barry. We're going to replay the interview with Rick Barry, Lynn. But we also had Coach Nick on today, B-Ball Breakdown. And he thinks Milwaukee's going to struggle against Toronto in a half-court set. And he was looking at the data, and he's like, Milwaukee only really score in transition. If you slow them down, they have problems. Very interesting.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Swing for the fences, daily fantasy baseball with DailyRoto.com. Become the 8th Daily Roto lineup optimizer user to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament, or become one of countless number of people who have won $1,000. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount. You'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and the use of the Daily Roto optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY and get a special 10% discount today.
All right, Will Capper is with us. All right, Capper, so it's our full second with you, so we'll get down to business here. Raptors-Sixers tonight, -2, total 212. What's the pick tonight? What do you got? We'll get into I want to get into the Warriors situation in that Denver game here tonight, too. So what's the final call here as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, I'm looking for Raptors to close up with a little bit of flair, like 118-99 or something like that.
Ooh.
I like blowout. It. Milwaukee style. Nice.
Man, they might riot in Philly. Man. homeless people getting beat up tonight after the game. I know. It sounded horrible saying that. I'm not saying that's what I do in Philly, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Let's just cross our fingers for a good Jeff Nadeau up-down Periscope. That's all we want.
When Philly won, yeah, Big Man's coming on the show later, but Big Man hypes up that he's like a typical Sixer fan. Like before the game starts, he's like, Kyle Lowry sucks. He's a bum. Kawhi Leonard did, Joel Embiid's the best. Then after the game, these guys suck. Fire everyone. And then the next game, it's a rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
And, we're stable. We're like Trump. We're stable geniuses. Nice and steady with the Raptors. Nice and steady. Never too high, never too low.
Good stuff.
But that's the Philly sports fan. And listen, I'm not defending Brown either. I know Brown's in a tough spot there. Let's just be real. Especially, with the egos and the players that they have there. But quickly on Embiid, they mismanaged it often. You know what I mean? It was strange. Remember at during the end of the year, it was like, well, he's not going on the West Coast trip. He's not going on the road.
Yes.
And it was like, all right, fine. Makes sense. But he's going to play when we're back home. And then he really didn't. And he did, and then he didn't. And then, I remember my Uber driver game one against the Brooklyn Nets said, they're really going to regret playing him today. It's like they never just sat him, or it's always, you know, they have seemed to mismanage this. But anyways, Cam, you think the Raptors close out tonight?
I do. I think it's vital if you're Philadelphia, if they don't get off to a good start and the Raptors really have a good road game and punch them in the teeth early, I think Philadelphia is young enough to quit. And I think it's really, really vital just to take them out of their game plan. Don't let Embiid get comfortable. Gasol's done a great job. He's like kryptonite for that guy. And if they get a lead of over 8 to 10 points, I think, Gabe, the Sixers will start to realize that they're done and they'll tap out because they're young. So I think the first half is key. Get on these guys and then watch them fade down the stretch.
We've been playing the Moneyline parlays a lot, Capper. It's probably not, you know, what the quote-unquote sharp guys would do, but it's been a winning formula for the most part. Although there's been a couple of times we could have covered the point spreads anyways, but it worked out last night. Like, look, I had Milwaukee. I laid the 9 with Milwaukee on a ticket, but then I Moneyline parlayed Milwaukee and Golden State. And then I parlayed Golden State Moneyline with the L.A. Dodgers and the Houston Astros or whatever. So it was a nice sort of 6 degrees of everything. So tonight, though, didn't shake things up. I've been playing, guys, the two-night, every NBA night, I've been doing the Moneyline Parlay. Tonight, my Moneyline Parlay are the Toronto Raptors and the Denver Nuggets.
Yes.
Shut this thing down.
I like it.
Guys, pace plus 351.
Not bad.
It was plus 351. Unfortunately, by the time I got to the book, it was like plus 415 or something only. But can the Denver Nuggets show the killer instinct? I think there's a better chance the Raptors. I don't know. I think they both win. But Denver doesn't have Kawhi Leonard. And Nikola Jokic is an awesome player. If you guys aren't watching him and seeing what he's doing, it's amazing. But do they have that killer instinct, Will Capper, tonight? And you know Lillard and McCollum.
Yeah.
You brought it up. These are the smaller guard guys. As the playoffs are going on, they're getting nullified a bit. Yet, they both had bad games. Like, and they both got a ton of heart, man. McCollum and Lillard. They ain't going down without us swinging. You know what I mean? I bet the prop over McCollum over 21.5 points tonight. But I think Denver can win the game. Nice. I like the over in the game, too. What do you make of the game, Denver, Portland?
Yeah, so that's it. So basically, the game five, Portland needed to make a key shift in the way they play basketball between game four and game five. They needed to do a better job of protecting the defensive glass. They needed to do a better job of preventing easy second chance buckets for the Nuggets, because that is how the Nuggets have been destroying them in the games that they have been beating them. And rather than coming up with a good way of preventing the easy offensive rebounds, instead, they give up like 8 or 10 or something like that to Jokic. Jokic was just getting easy second chance buckets. They had virtually no way of getting him out of the lane when they were missing shots. And so it made it relatively easy for the Nuggets to operate the offense that they wanted to operate. Even when, you know, the shots weren't falling, they were getting 2 points out of it. So it was the likelihood that they have that adjustment left in their arsenal to make based on how they are rostered. And really, like, the, this is where I thought it was going to happen in the OKC series, where not having Nurkic was going to bite them in the ass. But it turns out this is the series where that has been the key factor, because they don't have a big guy in the middle who can clean the glass. And Cantor's not that guy. Cantor, even fully healthy, is not that guy, let alone Cantor with one shoulder. So it threw me that there's just too much opportunity for,
not to mention Cantor on Ramadan right now. He's not even eating.
Yeah.
Oh, is he not? Is he not even playing? Oh, he's not.
Great
eating.
Point.
Okay.
He's
I
been playing, but no,
matter.
Yeah, he's fasting. It started.
That's the thing, man. Ramadan, no drink, no eat. Yeah, that's not cool. Yikes. Yeah, he'll be. That's tough. Yikes. That's interesting.
Unless
what a
name, unless your name is Hakeem Olajuwon, it's going to affect you.
Yes, good point.
Yeah. So all told, like, I don't see a game script here where the Blazers can keep the Nuggets from making a comeback if they have a lead at some point. Like, the Spurs in game six at home against the Nuggets played superlatively. And the Nuggets at that time didn't really have the matchup advantages over the Spurs that they currently have over the Blazers. And really, so much of the Blazers' success goes through Dame Lillard and really on the offensive side of things. And Gary Harris has played with increasing confidence on defense as the series has gone on. I do not see a world where, unless, you know, the refs get involved and they get him like three quick fouls on BS calls, I don't see a world where, you know, his play on the defensive side of things regresses to the tune of letting Dame get off for, you know, 20 or something in the first half and really setting the tone in this game where, because honestly, if the Blazers are going to have a chance to win on this one, they need to get to like 120 points because there's just way too many opportunities for easy points for the Nuggets. And I'm with you in thinking this is probably a closeout game for the Nuggets. If I was playing them, I'd play them on the money line. There's obviously no point in taking that low of a spread in a game where, you know, it's not going to come down to the last shot. This is either the Blazers put, you know, keep them at arm's length and, you know, go like 120-111, or they can't get their buckets because their guards are being too well defended, and the Nuggets win like, you know, 112-108 or something like that.
All right, so we've got a couple of minutes left. Whale Capper, you can find him on Twitter at whale_Capper on Audio Boom as well. So if anyone's wondering about the importance of Kevin Durant to the Golden State Warriors, this postseason, the Warriors have outscored their opponents by 79 points when Durant is on the floor. They've been outscored by 14 points when he is off the court. He's a dominant player. Him and Kawhi Leonard are the best players in the NBA. And, you know, yeah, they have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. They were able to grind through it. You have to wonder if they could actually, okay, it's a battle. Let's say Kevin Durant's not there anymore. You know, Draymond is trying. He's going to foul out of games. Is Curry, can Curry and Thompson carry these two? Can that big three do it? I'm not so sure. Maybe they can get out of the West.
Yeah.
I don't know if they could beat the Bucks. I think the Raptors, honestly, could beat a Kevin Durant-less team. I really do. I say bring them on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I think we could beat them. Like, we'd have Kawhi. They wouldn't. And they don't have Kevin Durant. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yep.
But I don't know if the Houston Rockets have what it takes to beat these guys. There's just something like the Rockets, too many mental mistakes, too many quick bad shots. The defensive laps catch up to them. Can the Rockets beat these guys, Will Capra?
Yeah. So, I mean, my initial reaction when Kevin Durant goes down, and I'm with you, I'm operating under the assumption that we don't see him play basketball again in 2019. My initial assumption, okay, the immediate winners in this are the Rockets because, the Warriors win game five, go up 3-2. If they have a healthy Kevin Durant, then, you know, they have like an 85% chance to advance. So that now the Rockets are literally on life support. Without Kevin Durant, now you're talking about more like a 40-45% chance the Rockets can get to the next round. But when you break down what's going on, I think you hit all of the key points. The Rockets are not playing great defense. Team defense is a problem for them because they can't keep Capella on the floor, which means they're not getting great rim protection. James Harden has had a ton of defensive lapses. He's playing fine post defense, but he's not boxing out well. That was, you know, the reason they lost last night, besides a pretty obvious missed call on Klay Thompson went out of bounds, threw the ball back in. Like, because they lost because they could not stop Looney from getting offensive rebounds, and that's because Harden did not have the energy, did not have the stamina to play the high-end defense in that fourth quarter of that game. Like, you could see he reined in his effort level on the offensive side, knowing, you know, that his guys were getting theirs, and so he wasn't all on him offensively. That's why he only takes one shot in the fourth quarter. But that did not translate into superlative defensive performance from him, and that really, I think, was the difference in the game last night. And did that manifest itself at some point in Game 7? Entirely possible. Game 6, to me, looks like a pretty solid play on the Rockets to get the win and force this to go 7. I do not see a universe where the Warriors are long for these playoffs at this point. And, it, you know, a lot of people's immediate reaction when Durant went down was, oh, Rockets are going to win this game now. Series is over. Rockets are going to win this series. And then they watched it play out, and they saw some flashes from the Warriors in that Game 5 that reminded them of 2-3 years ago when Durant wasn't on the Warriors. And you had, you know, Thompson and Draymond, you know, making threes and Curry kind of being the alpha on the team, right? That team cannot reconstitute itself out of, you know, in this on the fly in this moment. They were amazing last night with the adrenaline pumping, with the Rockets' inability to adjust on the fly, kind of a hallmark of kind of Mike D'Antoni like criticism, like he does not adjust on the fly well. Maybe with more time to adjust, I would expect that the Rockets look a little bit better against the Warriors in terms of defense in game six. You cannot play a guy like Curry and Klay Thompson more than 40 minutes a game at this point in the season, at this age in their careers. Like, these guys are going to break down too. Like, it's so hard in the playoffs to carry the load offensively for a team, and that is why Durant was so important to these Warriors, is because, number one, he could slow the game down. Number two, he was getting his extreme high-difficulty two-point shots made in the clutch against whoever was guarding him. It did not matter. Like, that was why they were virtually unbeatable, in my opinion. That's why it was going to be a nasty, gnarly series against the Rockets that they were going to get through and then cruise on to the title. Without him now, there is way too much load for guys like Curry and Klay to be carrying, to expect them to be able to play two more games. Yeah, it's just too much basketball to be played to expect these guys to be able to carry.
Will Capper, always a pleasure. Thank you for the time.
Later, buddy.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, let's roll. Level one, the Winding Town. Thanks to Will Capper for throwing it down with us. So we got a busy show. So we spoke with Rick Barry earlier this morning.
Rick.
And Rick Barry was his usual surly self, but in a good way.
Yes.
You know, Rick Barry. Good. we asked, do they have a chance? Well, anything can happen. Of course they have a chance.
Thanks, Rick.
There's a really funny part where Ranieri asked him something. I thought Rick was going to get even more so, but
you saw smoke coming out his ears.
Yeah, and even I even told Joe after I said, Joe, after you asked that, I sort of kicked back and was just looking forward to his answer.
Retzy.
I got the popcorn.
I got an update, Gabe, on the links. Tony Romo's actually 2-under through 8 holes there, so I'll keep you apprised that he's in danger on the 9th hole right now. And
2-under. What does that mean, though? Like, it's an easy course. So what's everybody else? Yeah, what's that comparable to?
I'm going to say probably around T70, so let's see where he is right now. I'd say it's probably pretty close to 2-under right now. Actually, you know what? 2-under gets you T52, so he is inside the cut line right now. Hell, he's tied with Hideki Matsuyama. Hideki Matsuyama and Tony Romo have the same score right now, so I'll give Tony Romo all the credit in the world. He's going to probably the ninth hole. He will bogey the ninth hole, though. He's in jail.
So right now, he's tied with Hideki Matsuyama.
Correct.
Do you think Hideki Matsuyama could go and throw a football in the NFL for a touchdown?
Nope. No, I don't.
Makes Tony Romo a better human being than Hideki Matsuyama.
Well, human being. I'm not sure human being. Let's say multifaceted athlete, maybe. But I like human being, Gabe. We'll stick with that. Human being. I got more bad news in the update, too. Doug Baldwin didn't pass a physical. He's done, Gabe.
That's it for his career?
Yeah. We'll get I'll talk about all this at the top with the update. But the end of an era. Cam Chancellor done. Doug Baldwin done. You talked about the old Seahawks, right? Sherman moved on. It's a whole new team. The last Fred Thomas, Earl Thomas traded. Difference is now, buddy.
Baldwin's stats were never really great, but he was a great football player. Real winner.
Undrafted. Yep. Got it.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Wow, live up. Tony Romo got out of jail. That was a PGA par save. We'll get to that in a bit. Golden State Warriors will have to try and put Houston away without Kevin Durant. Big news. KD suffering a calf strain in Game 5, and Warriors coach Steve Kerr says he will be out of Friday's Game 6 and Game 7. Durant pulled out in pain in the third quarter of Wednesday's 104-99 win after hitting a jumper over Amon Shumpert. Golden State up 3-2 in the series. He's going to be evaluated next week, but he looks like he's done for Game 6 and 7. Durant averaging 34.2 points, 5.2 boards, 4.9 assists, and 11 games in the postseason. The guy's been on fire. He is the Warriors, and they've gone from minus 220 to plus 110 to win the NBA title. Two elimination games in the NBA tonight. First up at 8 o'clock, Philly hosting the Toronto Raptors. Raptors laying minus 2 on the road. 212 is the total. Wraps up 3-2 there. Game 2 of the doubleheader has Portland hosting Denver at 10:30. Blazers minus 3.5. 214 is your over-under. Nuggets up 3-2 there. Afternoon baseball. We got a milestone. Veteran slugger Albert Pujols registered his 2,000th RBI today with a solo jack in the third versus the Tigers. He joins Hank Aaron and A-Rod as the third player ever to record 2,000 RBIs. Congratulations to Pujols. Angels kill the Tigers 13-0. Scores on the go. Cleveland up on the White Sox 5-0, still in a rain delay in the fifth. Cubs over the Marlins 4-1, top of eight. San Fran and the Rockies. Rockies up 7-5, bottom four. And Cincinnati, they lead Oakland 3-0 in the bottom of five. Next up, we got the Yankees in Seattle. Yankees minus 170, total 9.5. Leaky roof versus Mr. Happy. We got 745 action. Pittsburgh and the Cardinals. Cards minus 145, 8.5. Musgrove versus Waka 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 Waka, 8-10. We got Texas and Houston. Astros minus 165, total 9. Minor leagues versus Miley, 940. Atlanta and Arizona, pick 'em, total 8. Soraka pitching well versus the Dreamweaver. And at 9-10, Washington at the LA Dodgers. Dodgers minus 135, 7.5. Corbin versus Hill. The Seattle Seahawks have released veteran Doug Baldwin after failing a physical. End of the era in Seattle. Baldwin, undrafted, 493 receptions, 6,563 receiving yards, 49 touchdowns, and a two-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl champion. New era in Seattle. The Seahawks also expecting Ziggy Ansah to miss training camp. He's recovering from a shoulder surgery. It's believed he will miss the first month of the regular season. He signed a one-year deal with Seattle. Benjamin Watson coming out of retirement today and heading home. The veteran tight end plans to sign on with New England. After today's visit, he was drafted by the Patriots in the first round of the 2004 draft. Busy day for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags releasing quarterback Cody Kessler today. One game in the NHL playoffs. Game one of the Eastern Conference Final. Boston and Carolina. Bunch of jerks or big dogs here. Boston playing $1.55 total. 5.5 in this game. Game time, 8 o'clock. Charlie McAvoy out for the Bruins. One game suspension for a headshot versus Columbus in game 7. Series price, Boston minus 160. Canes plus 140. Also with Jacksonville, the Jaguars. Linebacker Telvin Smith announced he won't play football in 2019 today. He signed a four-year, $45 million extension with the team in October of 2017. He was a Pro Bowler that year. Round one of the PGA's Byron Nelson. Guys going real low today. I just mentioned Tony Romo with a great par save. He's still two under through nine holes. Yeah, and we mentioned tied with guys like Hideki Matsuyama. Denny McCarthy, he leads the way right now with an 8 under 63. Brooks Koepka, the tournament favorite, just two shots off the pace. On the European Tour, British Masters opening round, Matthew Jordan playing on a sponsor's exemption leads the way at minus 9. We got Wallace and Kinholt just two shots off the pace. Thanks a lot for Will Capper for joining the show. We'll have Jeff Nadeau on a little bit later. Big man on campus. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morency hosts Red Heat and Rage. We got picks, fantasy updates, and a whole lot more. So stick around, everybody. More Red Heat and Rage Radio, Hour 2, coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
Let's go!
life. Level two. Level two. Two. Has begun. Game time decision. Red Heat Rage at Radio. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Yeah, big man on campus will join us later. And I said, yeah, you should come on before. I said, it's the last game of the series, so why don't you come on? That's how I worded it to him.
Nice.
I said, why don't you come on since it's going to be the last game of the series?
He didn't like that one too much. Hey, Gabe. What I love about Big Man, no matter what we say before, like, you could crack the best joke or we have a good story. Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
It
how are you?
It used to be like that. I don't know. Like,
it's just a regular response now. I don't know.
Probably maybe watching the Sixers now or something.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, listen. I've ignored his Twitter during this series. Like, people are like, oh, you should see what he's tweeting now. But
just ignore it. Ignore it. Yeah. You got other things. Like,
he's ripped.
Bigger fish to fry.
From what I understand, though, he's ripped, like, pretty much everyone. Marc Gasol sucks.
Lowry's
Siakam,
a slug.
Yeah, yep. Siakam is way overrated and is terrible. And Kyle Lowry's terrible.
Yeah.
Even he wouldn't talk crap about Kawhi Leonard, I don't think.
Oh, no, that's just...
I don't know. Like, that Bruce Chat does that, you know?
Why, he's got a Kawhi Leonard problem?
Yeah, Bruce Chat thinks Kawhi Leonard's overrated.
What? Are you kidding me?
All year. He's been calling him a choker and stuff. He's
like
you'll
Bruce
see.
Chad.
You'll see
like
once
Bruce.
We get to the playoffs. It's like...
He can't even get this order right at Kentucky Fried Chicken, let alone cutting up Kawhi Leonard. That's not a good move. Doesn't even know what to order off the menu. How's Yang doing? That update, I was hearing myself three times there.
Speaking about KFC, I didn't have KFC. I ordered Popeyes the other night via Uber Eats. First time I ever used Uber Eats.
How'd you like it?
Thumbs down.
I agree. Too much batter. I tell people, man, I don't
want
the batter.
Number one, dude, the chicken's all rubbery and stuff, man. They messed up my side. I asked for mashed potatoes and a corn on the cob. I got two orders of fries. No ketchup. It's all dry. No ketchup. The Louisiana Mardi Gras cheesecake. Dude, the thing was the size of, it was like the size of your thumb. It was like this little, like, like prisoners in San Quentin get bigger dessert. Like, it's true.
You don't have to worry about it, Gabe. When you come back to town, I got Kentucky Fried Chicken coupons. You don't have to worry at all.
You're right, too. It blows, man. Like, so at first, I'm like, oh, this seems pretty cool. It's like $1.98 charge. It's like, whatever. They're full of it. So it's like $1.98 plus $4.99 delivery fee. Then you got to tip the person. It was a chick that showed up. I tipped her $5. I spent $24 for Popeyes that I didn't even like. Oh, yeah, and it took 45 minutes. Oh, yeah, Uber Eats is great. Like, oh, yeah.
That's another thing. Oh, yeah.
I order food. I'm ordering directly from the restaurant, man.
Exactly. I'll tell you another thing. They have this thing called the beer guy, Gabe. So, you know, after I have a couple beers, I don't like to mix around with drinking and driving.
No,
right? You know,
delivers the beer. Right. Yeah,
yeah. But it's funny. So I go, okay, if I'm going to have a few beers tonight, I know I'm not going to go out. But I ordered it at 8:03, so I'm waiting, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's beer, right? The guy gives it to me. I'm literally, like, going to go lie in bed and watch the end of these games. 11:04, 11:14, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. I go, dude, here's your tip, but you got to tell your boss this is not going to cut it. I'm not waiting 3 hours for 12 beers. Suck it. You want to talk about get bent? What a horrible service. Delivery services suck. You said it. Do it yourself. We'll pick it up.
I should know, too, my luck, when I order the Popeyes, just by chance, I look out my window and the cops shut all the roads down. There's something going on.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Range Video, Fantasy Sports, our radio network, iHeart Radio, and YouTube as well. All right, we got Rick Barry a little bit later on. We got Big Man on Campus, so if, we're going to talk a lot of basketball. We've talked basketball. We blasted through the updated odds right now. The NBA futures, Golden State Warriors plus 115, Milwaukee Bucks plus 270, Houston Rockets are now plus 420, Raptors plus 600, and the Denver Nuggets are 18-1. I like the makeup of this Nugget team. I think it's big value. Like, I don't see why everyone else. Like, I don't think the Rockets should be plus 420 and the Nuggets plus 1800. People don't see the Nuggets, so they don't know the Nuggets. And also, the Nuggets don't really have, like, brand-name superstars on their team. Nobody really knows Nikolai Jokic. And when they see him, they just see sort of a chubby, big, sort of white dude, right? They're like, oh, he can't be that good. And they don't realize how good this guy actually is. Jamal Murray's a great shooter, Cam. Paul Millsap's playing great basketball. Their bench guys are all stepping up. Gary Harris mm-hmm. is a very good basketball player. Gary Harris is like a very, very good two-way player. He'll give you 14 points, play great defense. I tell you, they're very similar to the Raptors, that team. They have a lot of they remind me of the Raptors a lot. They're a little younger, but Millsap's been around. There's something about this Denver team. And another thing, it's really hard to win in Denver, Cam, without altitude.
Yeah,
especially at this
great
time
call.
Of the year. Great you know, call. You're worn out. You're tired. You're into round three of the playoffs and stuff. You're already worn out, man. You're losing weight. There you are playing in a mile-high city and stuff, and they're used to it. And they're running and gunning at home and stuff. It catches up, man. Saw Damian Lillard, bro, man. The guy was, like, keeled over all night the other night in Denver.
Think
catches
about Houston.
Up to these guys.
Think about Houston, too. Harden's a little bit chunky, right? You look at the guys on their team. Tucker's a veteran. He's not young. Chris Paul's
Houston
been
don't
in the league
scare
for a
me.
Long
they
time.
Just match up well with Golden State.
I'm saying.
It's one of these deals. They match up well with Golden State. Houston would lose to Toronto or Milwaukee, in my opinion. I'm not just saying the Raptors. I think the Bucks would beat the Raptors. Greek Freak's better than Harden.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He does everything. He's amazing. You said it, though, man. If you're going to get tired, they got a lot of chunk, like guys who are thick on that team, too, man. That's not easy. So if Denver finds a way, they play. And Houston, say Houston does come back
Houston
and beat Golden
old.
State.
Dude. Chris Paul's
that's what
old.
I'm saying.
E.J. Tucker's old. Eric Gordon's been around forever. They're not a young team.
You want to be young in the Mile High City, buddy. That's very true. That's what I was worried about in the next series. Like, the longer the NHL playoffs went, if Colorado would have got through last night, I think even though St. Louis is good, I would have been real scared because – what?
Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, it's
sorry,
okay.
Buddy.
Yeah. What, you mean the disallowed goal and all the other bullshit that went with that game? I'm so used to this crap right now. It's like, whatever. You know, like, it's like,
I don't know.
We bet so much. It's like, whatever, man.
Oh, yeah. I'll get to my bad beats. I'll tell you a couple of horrible beats.
Colorado should have won that series, but I'm not going to bitch.
What's the deal with last night? Because I was watching mostly basketball. Like, I watched
just a big, dumb, disallowed goal. Gabe Landeskog was coming off the ice. His toe was actually on the blue line. By the letter of the law, Gabe, and you know how they change in hockey. You could sit there at the blue line and then climb over the boards. He was stupid enough not to do it because it ended up costing his team a goal in the game, but they actually looked at it. They disallowed the goal. I thought it was BS. Just Colorado had a lot of bad calls go against them. It feels obvious to me that the NHL really wants San Jose to go through. Let's just call it out for what it is. In the first series against Vegas, they got a crazy call that shouldn't have been a five-minute call that got them through. Vegas should have won that series. And Colorado, it just seems they're a really good market for the league. They've been disappointed before. They got a lot of nice stories with Joe Thornton. I'll tell you one thing, I'm kind of worried about the Blues. Like, you know what I mean? They're going to have to beat the refs and the Sharks in the series, despite being very, very good. I would say the NHL would want San Jose and Boston to meet in the finals. And I like both other teams. So I'm just maybe taking this upon myself.
Yeah, if you ask me, well, maybe you need something bad to happen to them.
Yeah, maybe I do. I don't want to do that stuff anymore. I felt bad for Zion Williamson still, even though he's going to be rich. Of course it's not. I can't control it. Anyway. You think I got a crystal ball? Yeah, I got dead chickens there. You know, what is this, major league?
It's your fault?
Like, you know?
Nike fell apart and made it cheat you?
I got a Santeria closet, Gabe. I do. I go, yeah, if I did and prayed for my picks every night, they'd be a hell of a lot better. I can tell you that. But, no, I got nothing going on there. bad beats, and what are you going to do? It's happened to you too, man. But it's very obvious in sports today to use a word fixed or anything like that, I think, is obviously too far. But there are agendas from leagues and teams that they want to pass. And if you think people who don't watch sports on a regular night don't know, I think you're an idiot not to realize this. There are agendas. And when you're a smaller market team or a team like the Raptors, for instance, you really have to do well. Like, you know things are going to go against you, so don't leave it up to the
Carolina.
Take care of business. Carolina. Yeah.
Carolina's going to be in this position against Boston. They don't want Carolina in the finals. Like, Boston, they can live with. Yeah. Yep. I bet this game tonight, and I actually put a real play on it, too. You know, I had the money on the Sharks last night, but, you know, I played the under tonight. I played the under. I know the playoffs have generally been to the overs, but these teams have to be a little tired. It's getting real now. There's a trip to the Stanley Cup at stake. I don't think this is old-fashioned shootout hockey. I think it's going to button down, and I think goals are going to be tough to come by here tonight. At least I hope I'm right.
Hey, listen, man. Last night, sure, disallowed goal or not, and all the other power plays for San Jose. The game stayed under last night. You said it, Gabe. It's like, you look at this stuff, and it looked like it was going way over the number, and it didn't go over the number. So, if Mrazek steps up, and I'll say this one thing about Tuukka Rask, I'll give him a lot of credit, man. It's like ex-Leaf goaltenders will do great. You go somewhere else, you do great. McElhinney, what a story. Can you believe this? The Leafs wouldn't spend, me and Hames are talked about this, the Leafs wouldn't spend under $500,000 to keep McElhinney on. Then you have Sparks as your second-string goalie that you don't trust. He goes on to Carolina, stands on his head, and Tuukka Rask looks like the second coming of Johnny Bauer when he plays for Boston. It's just like one of these curses. It's hilarious. If the Leafs, you touch it, it turns to stone, buddy, and then these guys always succeed somewhere else.
The teams that we think are going to win the series is, and I would bet on Boston, but I always get screwed. And I didn't play the future. I was there today. I didn't play it. We'll go over our tickets that we played. I didn't play mine. I actually still have a stack of tickets. I was going to say I didn't play as many, but I sort of went with bigger units today. I was like, I'm just clicking away. Oh, wait, yeah. I went bigger. But
got to pay for that Popeyes delivery.
Yeah, I got to pay for a lot of things, bro.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Boston Bruins are now the Stanley Cup favorites, plus 170. San Jose Sharks, SJ Sharkey, plus 230. St. Louis Blues, plus 310.
That's the team I'm going to ride. That's my
Carolina
team.
Hurricanes, plus 350.
I think the Blues.
I think the book is right, Cam. I think this has Bruins Sharks written all over it, bro.
You just said it yourself.
You just talked about having to play the refs. The league wants this. They want Boston, San Jose.
I know they do.
East Coast, West Coast.
How do I not
think they want Midwest versus South? Nah. They want East Coast, West Coast.
I'll tell you one thing about St. Louis. They have a great formula. To beat SJ Sharkey, Gabe, they're so tough. And I watched that Dallas series game after game. All those little checks of St. Louis, I'm like, yeah, what are they doing? Dallas is so fast, it wore them out. They got weaker and weaker and weaker as the series progressed. Sharks already have old players, man, guys coming back off injury. If the St. Louis Blues play a physical brand of hockey, they will smoke San Jose. They will take away their will. And I still believe
in San Jose. Come on. I won't have this blasphemy.
Yeah, you're going to have some blasphemy. Why? You bet on the Sharks to win the Stanley Cup? Great. So now I got to go against you every single night for the rest of the Eastern Western Finals. You got Boston and you got SJ Sharkey. So I'm going to take Carolina and I'm going to take the Blues. Both
I should tell you, Joe Thornton's a fan of you and I.
I like Joe Thornton a lot, actually. He's a really nice person. He's a nice person.
I was once told, too, that someone said, Joe says he's a rageaholic. I was like, oh, really?
Yeah, Joe Thornton's hardcore. See him last night, too, in the interview? Marchand should take a lesson from Thornton. Guy's interviewing him for like 10 minutes. He just wants to go to the room and see the guys and still be like with them. Joe Thornton's all class. I'm cheering for the Blues, though. You know I like Joe a lot. Go Blues.
Sharks beat the Blues. Sharks Blues. Beat the Blues.
No. Blues.
Hey, Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Have to talk about this song and the rotation.
Gotta be honest, very happy though. Man,
it's too happy.
It kind of makes you feel like, it's kind of like I want to just go to the sports book.
It just makes me think, why are we playing this song? I swear, I think it's sort of like it's like an old fashioned. This is like the Hercules. Hey, Herc.
Hey, Herc. Hey, Herc.
Herc.
Hey, Yang, what's going on with the songs? The songs. I know what's going on. Pavona programmed it.
Yeah, but it's on a loop. It's like the same songs as yesterday at the same time, like basically. Do you realize this, Yang? Like we're playing the same music.
Well, you know what? I mean, like some of this is like kind of like identified as like the same. So like there's like some like a new thing where they're downloading. So it's like when they're downloading, they're not putting like the name of the song.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't either, Yang. That sounded made up. That was if I get you, if Gabe had you on the stand right there, Yang, I don't know. I don't know about you. If we got you in the box, we'd be in big trouble if you there.
They used to download from the.
I don't even know.
Yang, tell the people that we didn't mean to do it. We'd be, me and Moretti would be in jail.
Got to give them a Donald Trump answer there, buddy. You know, got to spin you around in a circle.
Yes, Metal Matt's not there today, right?
Yeah, Metal Matt's here, but he hasn't been previewing it. He hasn't previewed
Matt,
it today, man.
Matt, like Metal, come on, Matt. Like, I thought Metal Matt was monitoring these type of things, and he's got to be very disappointed in the music as well.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. It shouldn't be as repetitive as it's been. I don't know who's making these playlists here, but they got to let me take over. They're giving me other tasks to do here and there, cutting YouTube clips. I think they need me to do the playlist for you guys. Because I know
like
what you want.
Call your shot.
Nice.
I'm calling my shots. That's right. Tonight, there's no show, so I'm calling my shots.
All of your shit.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, calm down, Matt.
Matt's like, hey, whoever programmer is doing a bad job. Sometimes it's good. It's the same playlist as yesterday that I remember, like, every day am I going to say at 5:25, I don't like this song?
Yeah.
Like, Cap, if you can't get music you like on your own show, you're never going to get music you like.
That's a good point, Gabe. Excellent point. But I think to your earlier thing that you were talking about, I think they have playlists, and I've noticed that they have like some metal and stuff like that. You're right; it's happening at the same time. But Bavona, knowing him from the Sunday show, and you know him in the morning, he has a sneaky tendency to put one in and ruin your playlist just to see what you'll do. He's got that kind of move in him. You know what I mean? He likes to poke the snake or poke the bear.
He likes to mess with me.
Yes, he does.
He likes to get me once in a while. Like, he knows. Remember, like, Florio used to play the ska music all the time.
Yeah, you'd say, no more ska. You play that Mighty Mighty Boss Tone song, I saw smoke coming out your ears many times.
I like Florio, but once I really was mad for real. Like,
yeah, I know. You're like, I went
all caps. I was like, bro.
I'm dead serious now.
I was like, I swear to effing God, man, if you play this one more time, I was like, yeah. When we go all caps. That's when we got issues. So, lighter night in baseball tonight because I sort of scanned through the baseball board when I was at the book earlier, and what do I see? We have Seattle and the Yankees at 6:35, Leaky Fawcett's and Hap.
Yeah, Happy. Let's get Happy, Leaky.
Or Hapless.
Yeah, or Hapless. Good, yeah. I'm looking at that game going, it's a pretty short price for the Yankees, but
I know.
Leaky Roof's been doing a pretty good job for Seattle. He's actually been pitching better. Next game, I leaned a Waka 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 Pac-Man and the Cardinals against Musgrove.
But
you never know what you're going to get. Musgrove's pretty decent. It's a tough board, Gabe. Slight lean to Atlanta against the D-backs. Soroka's a really good pitcher. He's been consistently solid. Dreamweaver, meh. And I like the Dodgers tonight with Rich Hill. The Nationals are ice cold, but it's not like a great baseball night or anything. Tough games.
Yeah, the Dodgers should win, but the Dodgers have been winning pretty much every night, and that's a problem.
That's true. Yep.
You know, I guess you ride the hot streak. The Atlanta Braves at Arizona, Soroka and Weaver. The Braves, small favorites. Hard to trust them as road favorites. Texas, you know, Texas could be worth a look as a dog at plus 148, but nothing jumped off the page at me when it came to baseball. I played the under in the National Hockey League game. I did not take a side.
This is the thing. We got to give picks on the show, and I want to take Carolina. I lean to the under with you, but I don't know what I'm going to get from these guys. They've had a lot of time off. Boston, on the other hand, has just enough time off to feel better about themselves, get into the game. Kind of like what Gambolu talked about, Gabe, the other night. Like, say Boston wins, a 2-1, 3-2 type of hockey game. I can catch Carolina at plus 255. I really believe Carolina can beat these guys, though. I know betting against Boston has been idiotic almost. Like, they just continue to win, but it's a good matchup. Carolina are really a team that's playing with house money right now, and I think they can beat Boston. I really do. They're deeper. They have underrated players on their team. Boston's one line top heavy, but the problem is, as you said before, they find ways to win. They are a professional team, and I'll give them all the credit in the world. But Carolina could beat them.
Our boy Craig Martin says Tony Romo's back to even par.
Okay,
right
yeah.
now.
And I've got way too much. Way too much.
Well, you know, would anybody be paying attention to the Byron Nelson right now? Well, I guess they would be. To
yes,
be
they would. Henrik Stenson's out.
Well,
there,
you know what it is,
Cam? Is out. Yeah, but that's the way
Byron
they do
Nelson.
Right?
The Byron Nelson's supposed to be sort of that cooler one that more people would play at. It's bad timing. The Byron Nelson got sabotaged because of the PGA next week.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's not
normally this is one that more guys would play in out of the it's one of the old sort of ones, Byron Nelson Classic, and but our boy Craig Martin's here, and I've got the Tiger Woods paper for you. I'll send that out for you. He wanted the New York Post cover of Tiger Woods winning, so you know the guy, Cam, that he won $1.2 million betting on Tiger Woods, $85,000.
Yeah, he's back at it.
He's back at it. The guy that doesn't want publicity keeps telling people about his bets.
That's another thing. I've never bet before. Now, I like Tiger Woods to win the Grand Slam. Like, what do you think? We're stupid? Like, you think this is not our first rodeo there, numbnuts? So you're telling
he's
me you bet a guy
He's not getting good
won.
Enough odds for this.
I agree with you 100%. And no offense, I love Craig Martin. Tiger Woods is not winning the Grand Slam. I wouldn't be surprised if he won two out of the four majors, though.
Craig Martin didn't say he's winning it.
He can win the British Open.
Yeah, so the guy bet $100,000, guys. So he put $85,000 on Tiger Woods to win the Masters. Tiger Woods wins the Masters. He got back like $1.19 million. Let's call it $1.2 million.
Yep.
So now he just went back, and he went to Will Hill, and he bet $100,000. That Tiger Woods would win the next three majors. PGA Championship, the Open, and then the U.S. Open. The Open being the British Open. He's got to sweep the board, win all four major championships, and he makes $10 million. They'll give him back $10 million for the $100K. He's not winning next week.
No, it's a big investment, man. Like, and that's the thing. Like,
he only got 1.2 back, man. Like, you're right, and they tax you for that stuff there.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, like, so you get hit. Like, dude, either that. Like, you're right. It's not that much. Let's say he's got 600,000. You're taking all that much percentage of your bankroll and the money you supposedly have for not being a gambler. I don't know, Cam. There's a lot about this guy we don't know about. I'm assuming.
I'm with you, Morenci. And that's another thing. You talk about the amount of money he won. My brother won $2,900 on a slot machine in Vegas, and he got surrounded by a bunch of grifters. Like, they were, like, ready to eat him. Like, they looked like cannibals ready to, like, just absolutely tear this guy apart. And he brought up a great point. Then they brought out the tax form. That's for $2,900 on a friggin' machine, Gabe. They're already there. Oh, Mr. Stewart, so you're from Calgary, Canada. Okay, we'll take this off the top. you get this and this and this. It's an absolute joke. So this guy wins how much? They are taking a big chunk of fat from that paycheck, buddy. Like, yeah, and he's been out there in the papers and stuff. You don't think this guy circled when he puts in his tax return? Like, give me a break. This guy's on their radar big time. Big time.
Yep, yep. Yeah, yeah. And, well, remember the USA Today did the thing on him?
Oh, yeah, that was the best. This guy's great. He's such a...
The thing is, though, it's like, he's not running for office, so I don't know why.
No, I was with you there.
To see
I was
what
with
he
you there.
Life, you know what I mean?
He doesn't have to be a great citizen that works for the Kiwanis Club or go to church.
Yeah,
on
like
Sundays.
The USA
really
Today website basically said a man that wins $1 million on Tiger Woods has three restraining orders against them and stuff like that. And I like his answers was the best though at the time. Said anybody can go online and look anything up. He goes, that doesn't prove anything.
For sure. I know. You said it though, Brent. See, like,
remember what he said? He said, yeah, and so that was 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That was right. It was 2 years ago. And that's the thing. USA Today, what? So people who make bets, like, well, we have to be like the president of the moral police here?
Yeah,
like,
God.
I really don't care. Really
if I ever win the super contest, do I got to worry? Like,
well, Moretti, I'll tell you that time. There was a rumor that he, you know, at the Meadowlands, he might have got into it with somebody. It's like, give me a break. You just tell them to get bent. Give me the check and shut up. And, but this guy, Gabe, for somebody who didn't want to be in the headlines and publicity, he's kind of bringing it upon himself to, hey, look at me. I'm betting this much on Tiger Woods. He's doing, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like he doesn't mind the attention, it seems like.
People that always say they don't want attention want attention.
Exactly. Amen. Yeah. You said it. He wants lots of attention.
I prefer Krusty the Clown's approach. What good is fame if you don't have the moolah to back it up?
Yeah, exactly. He's so right.
The rapper Too Short told me that one. The rapper Too Short told me years ago, it's better to be rich than famous.
For sure.
Our word.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Catch Make It Rain with Joe Ranieri and Dane Martinez weekday mornings from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the FNTSY Sports Radio Network as they get you caught up on all the night's previous action and prepped for the wagering day ahead. You can also watch the broadcast on YouTube and participate in the chat room or watch it on Periscope, Twitch.tv, or countless other popular OTT platforms. Become part of the show. Tune in for the entertainment, the knowledge, and for extra money they will put in your pockets. That's Make It Rain with Joe Ranieri and Dane Martinez weekday mornings from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Thank you very much, Sean. I am Gabriel Morenzi in Midtown Manhattan, Studio 34 across the street from Madison Square Garden. Joe Ranieri is in Miami, Florida. Always love talking to the Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players to play. Basketball, somebody that we owe congratulations in order to. Mr. Rick Barry joins us. Good morning, Rick. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, happy to join you. All the best to you and your listeners.
So first things first, congratulations on your son, Canyon. And, enjoyed watching him play ball at Florida. But, man, nuclear engineering.
Master's in nuclear engineering. Yeah.
Wow.
Thank God he takes after his mother. Yeah, he had got his degree in physics, the College of Charleston, and the Honors College, and then he just finished his master's. And so, yeah, and he's still, playing ball and played for the Minnesota Timberwolves in the G League back in Des Moines, Iowa, and did well under the circumstances that prevailed there. And so we'll see where he goes. Hopefully he'll get a chance to show his ability to play, in the top league in the NBA. So, he's a great kid and deserves the opportunity. I think he'll surprise a lot of people. He's certainly every bit as good as my other boys.
Well, you should be very proud. Very, very proud. I mean, this is real life right there. I mean, nuclear engineering. Holy crap, Rick. Like,
awesome.
Yeah, I'm not worried about his future.
Yeah, exactly.
You need a couple of bucks. He's going to be able to help you out down the road.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Let me ask you, Rick, instead of getting into the Warriors here, I want to ask you about Kyrie Irving. And this is something I'd like your take on. This is something that sort of perturbs me from the NBA salary structure, in which everybody's almost a max player. So Andrew Wiggins, max player. Tobias Harris going to be a free agent. Oh, he's going to get a max contract. Kawhi Leonard is going to be a free agent, get a max contract. Kyrie Irving is going to get a max contract, but they're not all the same, Rick. You know, there's something. Is there something wrong here, in the sense that, you know, no disrespect to Tobias Harris or Kyrie Irving, but they're not a Kawhi Leonard, right? They're not these players.
No, well, I mean, there's no guarantee that they're going to get max contracts, and if they do, then those teams are foolish. I mean, to just throw out money just to get a guy so he doesn't go someplace else. I mean, you have to evaluate it.
Don't we see this time and time again in the NBA, or at least players?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, they make mistakes way worse than giving max contract to guys who actually are pretty darn good basketball players. They wind up giving up $5, $6, and $7 million contracts to guys who really can't play worth a damn.
Yeah. Did you say that's what does them in more?
Yeah, that's what kills them. I mean, you know, the thing is, you got to make the right decisions. But then again, you can't give a max contract to a guy who isn't a game changer type of player. I mean, and, you know, like you're talking about Tobias Harris. I mean, come on, there's no way that if I was a general manager, I mean, no disrespect to Tobias, but he's not a max player in my mind.
Yeah, but we've seen that there are guys that sort of get these deals, right? I mean, they're just what I'm saying is, I guess, sort of. Maybe LeBron and Kawhi are sort of underpaid in some of these guys, as crazy as it sounds, or at least in relative scale.
No, well, yeah, but it's just the decision of the teams, and you know, a lot of these teams make terrible decisions. They make terrible decisions on who they draft. I mean, to have success in pro sports and team sports, three things. Who do you draft? Who do you get in free agency? Who do you trade for? You don't make the right choices as far as the personnel are concerned. You're screwed. And most teams make bad mistakes, and that's why they don't stay up at the top of the pack, you know, challenging for championships. And then you hope you get a coach that doesn't screw it up and utilizes that talent efficiently. And that's the problem, is that these teams sometimes, I don't know what they're looking at. I don't know what they're thinking about. But some of the choices that they make are almost beyond comprehension to me.
You know, it's funny, Rick, you know, all three of those things you just mentioned are going to be facing the Sixers here, you know, not too shortly after they probably get bounced out here by Toronto tonight. But what do you do if you're Elton Brand and you look at Joel Embiid? He's 25 in a 85-year-old body. Like, I don't, what direction do you go? Do you hand the keys to a Jimmy Butler who's going to be 30, 31, who's had problems relating to younger guys? Do you give it to Joel Embiid who's 25 and can't stay healthy? Like, what direction do you go if you're the Sixers here?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a major decision that they have to make. I mean, to me, it's a gamble with a guy like that. They give a max contract to somebody that has those issues and those problems. I mean, you got to be healthy in order to be able to perform, obviously. And, you know, somebody came up with something yesterday. I was listening to one of the talking heads, and they actually said something. Well, maybe you go ahead, you make a trade for Embiid. Let somebody else deal with it if they want to be foolish enough to do it. And go ahead and work and really feature and you know, and make somebody else on your team the guy that you want to go with. You know, I mean, you talked about some people that were there. Simmons would be another guy. I mean, here's the thing. Simmons should get a hold of my son's Scooter and get him on this incredible device, a shooting sleeve, and spend a month or something with him working on this to get his shooting down. If he develops an outside shot, three-pointers and pull-up jumpers and everything, that guy becomes one of the great players in the league. He's an amazing talent. That's his Achilles heel right now. You know, LeBron had some issues with his shooting doing it, and look what he was able to do. I mean, you know, I made a big deal about it. It took 3 years for them to actually start talking about it, and you just look at his elbow when he first came in and see where it is now. He's still not a great shooter, but he's kind of like LeBron James, taller, but, you know, needs to get his shot. And so maybe you go with him and you go with the other guys that you're talking about and you go ahead and make a deal and get another good player for Embiid and let somebody else deal with the uncertainty of his health. So there's a lot of decisions to be made there.
What do you think of the Toronto-Philadelphia matchup tonight? Philadelphia, you know, there's a lot of it's a lot of teams that have this aura of negativity around them. There's all these free agents all the time. The Raptors have done a nice job of blocking that out as far as Kawhi. There's not, oh, where's he going? Is he staying? Same with Gasol. They're just focused on basketball. Philadelphia seems to have this external sort of pressure on them all the time, and I don't think the fans in Philly help, actually. I think Toronto can go in there and finish them off tonight. What do you think, Rick?
Well, certainly they have the capability of doing that, especially if Kawhi plays at the level that he's playing at. I mean, he's playing almost like superhuman basketball. You look at his numbers and what he's done. It's you know, spectacular. I mean, he's playing the best basketball of his career. And, you know, the team has responded exceptionally well. And Philadelphia has not. You know, Embiid's had his health issues. I mean, just not from the standpoint of the other major things, but just his health in general, you know, everyday health. And so he's had issues. And you know, people talked to me about him yesterday. I said, like, here, there's a kid. If they're smart with him, hire Clifford Ray to work with him this summer. Clifford Ray has taken so many big men and taken them to levels that they've never been before. He needs work. He has a lot of things he needs to learn. He rushes things in the post, and he needs a guy like Clifford who can teach him the kind of things to take his game to another level if he really wants to be a dominant player and be as great as everybody says that he is, because he's inconsistent. And so you got to be a consistent player, but you also have to have more to your game than what he's got right now. There's always room to learn and improve. The moment you get to the point in your career that you think you've got it, that's the start of your downward spiral. You always have to strive to get better. Find the things that you're weakest at. In the offseason, you spend the time working on those skills in order to bring them up to a higher level.
I'm wondering, Rick, can I make the argument that maybe it's a blessing in disguise what happened to KD last night? Because we've all been wondering, you know, when does Steph Curry become Steph Curry again? When does Klay Thompson become Klay Thompson again? They've been a little inconsistent here this playoff season, and all of a sudden KD goes down, and then last night that switch goes off, and then all of a sudden even Steve Kerr said he looked at Steph Curry and like it was like a light bulb went off, and all of a sudden his demeanor, everything changed. Can I make the argument, and obviously nobody's as good without him as with him, but maybe this is a blessing in disguise for the Golden State Warriors not having Kevin Durant on the floor right now?
Well, I don't know how you can ever consider having a blessing not having one of the most incredible players that the game has ever seen in Kevin Durant. The biggest problem with the Warriors is they came out and played Warriors basketball and got themselves a 20-point lead, and this is where their Achilles heel is. When they get big leads and doing stuff, they, for some reason this season, don't have the ability to stay focused and put teams away. They let teams come back. They get sloppy with the ball. They had a numerous number of stupid turnovers. They wind up doing too much one-on-one, and if the shots aren't dropping, then they let the other team come back. And give the Rockets credit for the perseverance they had and getting themselves back in the game and actually getting a lead. You know, but it was great to see Steph up, but that's what great players do. You step up. I can relate to what happened to him because I sucked and I was, you know, as bad or worse than he was in that game and in the game seven and for Western Conference Championship and finally came back in and played well in the fourth quarter. And so I know what Steph was going through, and he just knew that, hey, he's going to be the GOAT. He had nothing to lose, everything to gain by coming out there and playing well, because he was going to be the guy that they were going to put it on if they lost. So it was a great situation for him to step up, and he did that. 56% of the points he was responsible for in the fourth quarter. That's an amazing statistic. And he did what he had to do. But a blessing? No. Now they got to go play in Houston without Kevin Durant. And then if they lose that game, which more than likely that may happen, then they got to come back home and hope they can find another way to get themselves together and have an incredible performance to be able to come away with a Game 7 victory. So it's a tough road that they have to go down. I hate to see that happen to a great player like KD. But now that also throws a little monkey wrench in. What happens with KD? How bad is that injury? What is that going to do for him as this decision as to whether he's going to stay with the Warriors or not stay with the Warriors? I just hate to see things like that happen, because you want to see a team, all teams, at their best when they play against one another. That series was very entertaining. But to be honest, the Warriors played one half of good basketball so far in five games in this series. One half, and that was last night. The other four games, they didn't play worth a damn, and they were lucky to be 2-2.
How much has Steve Kerr had his? I don't expect you, to give us behind the scenes stuff, Vince, but how much we always hear after at the end of these seasons, and we heard Wes say it last year. You guys have no idea what's going on in that room, and you know we heard it yesterday, last night from Rozier in Boston. Man, has been BS in this room all year long. Kerr looks a little frustrated this year. Like, he's been getting frustrated. You could read his lips earlier in the year when he said, "I'm so freaking sick of Draymond." And he's getting worn out. But Draymond balled last night. It was almost like the old days there. But when you look at Kerr, you think, man, this guy's doing his best to hold this thing together this year. Like, what's going on with this team? Is it hard to keep this thing together right now?
Well, it's hard only because this team is so good when they're playing their best basketball. As I say, it actually is too easy for them at times. Look what happened in last night's game, right? At one point, they were up 10. Next thing you know, a 10-point, 10-0 run by the Rockets. And what would Warriors go on, an 18-0 run?
Yeah.
I mean, they can just do that so simply and so easily, and that's the problem. And then a guy like Draymond, I mean, you love him and you hate him at the same time because of some of the things that he does. Like that silly thing about hitting him with the leg when he got up and hit CP3, how foolish was that at that stage of the game? And then he's got 5 fouls. Come on, this guy's a veteran. You have 5 fouls. You don't reach in to make a steal. And
hits a massive three, right, too. And he's getting rebounds.
I mean, seriously, I mean, you just don't do the kind of things. I mean, you got to be smarter than that. He's such a valuable commodity for that team, and he's got to have him out on the floor. And, you know, you hurt your team when you do it. They were so lucky to get away with that victory last night. You know, and again, they haven't played good basketball. One half of basketball, or maybe, you know, one quarter and a half of really good basketball because they had that lousy stretch when they blew the 10-point lead. I don't, or 11-point lead. I just don't understand why it is that these guys can't stay focused like that. I mean, they're veteran guys. You would think that they would understand and realize what has to be done. Who knows? I mean, if they find a way to win this series against the Houston Rockets with KD being out, then I'll tell you, then I'm going to have even more respect for them than I ever had before. And I don't understand also. I know that usually Clay comes out at a certain time, but Clay was on fire. Why didn't they go to him more and leave him in the game and just milk him until he got cold? He came back from that, and he never was the same.
Yeah. Mm. Rick Barry with us. Sorry, Rick. Unfortunately, we got about 35 seconds or about a minute here.
Quick.
Denver Nuggets.
I get it.
Fun as hell team. You like this Nugget team? Jokic, how good is this guy?
Oh, yeah, he's pretty amazing. He looks like Baby Yui. He looks like he never spent a day in the weight room. He doesn't have a competition in his arms and all. He goes out there and he gets the job done. He's going to be he's a fun one to watch. Real quickly for all your listeners, TLC.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
There you go, Gabe. Something harder to do. Minicamp time for those taken in the draft and getting introduced to the new playbooks and studying up for the 2019-20 NFL season is huge. And for fantasy football enthusiasts and NFL bettors, guys, you need to start doing your homework too. If you're serious about fantasy football and wagering on NFL futures or contests, it's never too early to start prepping for the 2019 season. And Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts are providing NFL Dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, and draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play, while providing you with all the data and insight you need to be successful at the betting window. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with the promo code FNTSY. That's 10% with the promo code FNTSY. The NFL 365 fantasy football package only at rotoexperts.com.
All right, let's roll, Cam. Countdown to tip-off, a little more than 2 hours away. Right now, Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers, an opportunity for the Raptors to close this series out tonight. And then a similar situation with the Denver Nuggets. And, you know, we talked about, you know, preaching, practice what we preach. Well, here we are, Cam. I'm holding tickets. I have a Toronto Raptors to win the series ticket, and I have a Denver Nuggets to win the series ticket here.
You're in the old catbird seat, too. You got the good news is, whatever happens, I expect both of those teams, and I'll probably take the points with Denver, Gabe. You still have a game 7. That's the beautiful situation. Me, on the other hand, when I took those pooches, they needed to take care of business in game 6, and they didn't.
That's right. You know what? I could actually hedge here if I wanted to. Like,
yeah, I don't know about
Philadelphia,
that.
Philadelphia 76ers are plus 525. And the... the Portland Trailblazers are plus 325, but I didn't come this far to hedge.
Yeah, exactly. You laid the juice on it already. You know, it's like you think those teams are going to win. That's what you do. You ride it out with those ones. I like those picks anyway. You'll be fine.
Hopefully they both close them. You know, it's going to be tough. The league's going to want game seven.
I know.
They're going to want some, you know, they need some programming.
Yeah. You said it,
buddy. I'm hoping the Raptors can just win tonight, get it over with. And it kind of sucks, though. It doesn't get any easier, Cap. They got to deal with the Greek this week.
Exactly.
I think they would play Sunday, like right away, I think. Wouldn't be a lot of mess in between. All right. 3:33 coming up.